But it's time to just kind of be still, be quiet, and try to put those things out of our minds that keep us from really hearing what God would have for us, and because we want Him to speak to us. But this time of year, as Shiloh sang that song, Emmanuel, which means God with us, it's really a humbling thought. The first song, I think it was, that the praise team led us with was the very thought that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that the triune God would decide that the Son would have to become a man and lower Himself from the glories of heaven to be born into the human race for the purpose of saving someone like me, the purpose of dying for your sins and my sins, so that we could spend eternity with Him is mind-boggling. And so as we approach this holiday time and we think of Christmas and God with us and the birth of our Lord Jesus, that first Advent, may we also be preparing ourselves for the second Advent, because He is coming again. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to work and to minister and to glorify Himself this morning in our hearts and our lives. See, I got a bigger thing with my glasses today, so I would know if I lost them with this. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning and we desire for You to be honored, You to be glorified, for You to speak through Your Word in a way that impacts our lives. It's not our desire just to have some more knowledge, but we need wisdom. We need wisdom to take that which we know to be true and apply it to our lives so that when we deal with life, the issues of life, the struggles with life, the pain and the hardships, that we do so in a way that brings You glory. Father, I know that in this room right now there are many who are carrying loads of concerns, issues in life they're dealing with, financial struggles that they're coping with, family pressures and stress. And we just submit ourselves into Your hands, asking You to work. And we'll thank You for what You accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Too busy. Anybody here? Too busy. This week has been a bit busy for me, but I like this little cartoon. It kind of puts things in perspective. You know what fits your busy schedule better? Would you rather find an hour a day for exercise or be dead 24 hours a day? You know what? But I want the young moms to focus on this one. Does that look like life? You wake up in the morning, and the list is overwhelming. Kids have to go here and there, schedules. Life is this way. And oftentimes, we don't like it, but we know it's necessary. We endure it, but it's wearing, is it not, on us? We're all human. Yes, we endure. Yes, we can do it. Yes, we put our nose to the grind. We buckle down and we accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. We do whatever needs to be done and we see it through. But it gets to us after a while, doesn't it? You probably can't read all of this. Maybe you can, but kind of shows the Apostle Paul's outlook in life, because life was tough. Life was hard. Life was difficult, and he says, oh yeah, come to mention, I guess I was blinded, beaten, shipwrecked, and imprisoned. I guess I was just too busy serving to notice. That's the kind of busy we ought to be involved in when we're so involved in the things of the Lord that the issues of life don't affect us. They don't hinder us. They don't tear us down. We just move forward. So I asked the question, I should ask the question, you should ask the question, you know, are we really, have we become so busy that we're just too busy for God? If that's the case, then we are just plain too busy. Because one of these days, this heart will stop beating, these lungs will stop sucking air, and I will be planted in the ground for eternity. So will you. But at that particular moment, when I stand before my Creator and He evaluates my life and He notices that I was just too busy for Him, I'm going to be a bit uncomfortable at that particular moment. And so would you. So when life becomes so hectic and so frantic that we become so busy that we're really too busy for Him, then we're going to find life very, very difficult. Isn't this true? The things that are really, really important to us, we find the time, don't we? Grandkids. We find time. Children. The things that are really important to us. Now, what happens, though, is some things become more important to us than what should become important to us, and so sometimes work becomes more important to us than marriage. And we do great on the job, and we do lousy at home. So we know how to juggle ourselves so that we make sure that we find the time for the things that are most important to us, but some of those things that are most important to us are not the most important. And so we have to evaluate. A truth that we must each come to grips with is that after I've come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've committed myself to Him, and I desire to honor Him with my lives, and I want to please Him because of what He's done for me, when I recognize the extent that He went to in order to save me from my sins, to redeem me from my lostness, and to give me the hope of eternal life, that I want to please Him and honor Him, but nowhere does the Scripture ever say it's easy street. Oh, I wish it was. I wish it was. In fact, sometimes when it comes to pleasing Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him with our lives, it brings all kinds of complications to life. Because there's other people that are now touched by this. Because in pleasing Him may mean that I don't please peers. When it comes to honoring Him and finding time for Him may mean that I don't have time for some other things. And so it's not always easy trying to juggle all of this. And then to make things worse with life is when God interrupts our life. You know, He throws in that snag that I wasn't ready for, wasn't looking for, and really don't want right now. It happens, doesn't it? Just about the time you think you've got things worked out, and it looks like you're reaching that peak where it's going to level off a little bit, and you're going to be able to take a deep breath, and you're going to be able to take off those shoes and let the hair down and just relax for a while, there's another snag, is there not? So what do we do? How do we handle life when God interrupts? He did that in the book of Luke, chapter 1. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go there, if you will, with me. Luke chapter 1 is where we run into a young lady. And this young lady has, I mean, her dreams, you can imagine, are just building one upon another here. She's betrothed to Joseph. She's engaged. She's looking forward to marriage. I can imagine her getting the dress tailor-made, talking to the florist, working with mom and dad and all the details, and Joseph is working hard at getting all the things in place and the dreams. And, you know, when two people come together and they finally say, "Ah, would you marry me?" And she looks at him with those beautiful eyes that just cause you to melt. And she says, "Let me think about it." No. You know, I mean, everything's going to be perfect, is it not? At that point in our life, love is blind. We think we can live on love alone. And there's not a concern in the world that is of concern to me because, oh, we're going to be married. And that's kind of here. We've got this ordinary girl. Ordinary Jewish young lady. Probably between the age of 13 and 17. More than likely closer to the 13 than the 17. And God is going to interrupt. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We found that word twice already. Did you catch it? Virgin. Now we could spend some time on this. There was a need for this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, but what was about to happen was the promised Messiah, the Redeemer, the sacrificial lamb that was going to go and die for the sins of the world was going to be born. But this one who was God in the flesh, 100% deity, was going to take on 100% humanity, but he could not have the sinful nature. And the only way that, in order for God to become man and not have the sinful nature, was he could not come through the union of a man and a woman. It had to be a virgin birth, a miraculous birth. And by the way, this shouldn't be a novelty. The idea that she's betrothed and still a virgin, that shouldn't be a novelty. It's the way God intended it. It's the way he planned it. And there was sin back then, as there is today. But God's plan for young people is to keep themselves pure until marriage, and then to give themselves to each other. But this is not about premarital sex or anything like that. This is more than that. But twice already we've been reminded that this young lady, this ordinary Jewish girl, was a virgin. She was betrothed. And we pick up in verse 28, and he came and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin? I know not a man." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month, with her who was called, and I flipped too many pages, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. All right. We got this ordinary Jewish girl. And being a Jewish young lady, she, like a lot of the Jewish individuals, we're looking forward to this promised Messiah. And the angel comes and gives this announcement and says that she is going to give birth to a son. And this son is going to not be ordinary. He's going to be extraordinary. He's going to be the Messiah. But the five facts that we learn is that he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. All right? Now we're going to get down to the brass tacks. That's the biblical account. Wonderful story of God interrupting this young lady's life and says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, let's bridge the gap and come into real life. Because what really jumps out at me in this passage is what's not there. Let's think about it. Mary is just going about life, and all of a sudden this angel appears. And the angel begins to speak, and Mary says, You can't be talking to me. You want me to do what? You said that, I mean, look at verse 30. You are saying that I am highly favored? You're saying that I have found favor in the eyes of God? This doesn't sound like favor. This sounds like punishment. Do you realize that what you're asking me to do ruins my whole life? I mean, who's going to believe this story? I'm betrothed to Joseph. How in the world do I go to him and let him know that I am pregnant? Who's going to believe this story? How about my parents? I'm the apple of Daddy's eye. And do you know if he hears of this, it will break his heart? In our community, this is young ladies just don't get pregnant out of wedlock. There is a death sentence for such. And you're telling me I'm highly favored, and you're trying to destroy everything that I have been dreaming of. That's the real life, isn't it? I mean, if God interrupted your life like this, and he comes to you and he asks you to do something that is going to destroy everything, change your life completely, no one's going to understand. You are going to have to walk alone. There are no promises here. Now, you know the whole account. And we'll look at Joseph's side next week, but as we read this account, there are no promises here that he's going to work all things out. Oh, but the Bible says God works all things together. That wasn't written until later. Mary had never read that verse. I mean, she is just a young teenage girl with all her dreams, all her plans. She's got her life all mapped out, and God interrupts and says, I want you to be the mother of the Messiah. You are going to give birth apart from a physical relationship with a man. Nobody's going to believe your story. And they didn't. In fact, if you read the Gospels, people used to say about Jesus that he was a child of an illegitimate affair, relationship. So even as a child, even as a man, there were people still talking about this couple. But as you read this, did you notice what happens? In verse 37, when she's asking all these questions, she must have been frightened because the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. I mean, how many times has an angel came knocking on your door? The angel says in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Can you imagine that? She didn't ask all these questions. This whole role play that I just brought before you isn't here. There doesn't seem to be a lot of resistance. There doesn't seem to be all these questions. Were they there? I'm sure they were there. But it didn't matter. What mattered was she was God's servant. And whatever God desired for her, she was saying, here am I. Use me. And if you drop down just a few verses, down to verse 46, I'd kind of like to know where this song was in the timeline. Because you drop down to verse 26, and it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She could see beyond all the repercussions that would be immediate. She could see beyond Joseph's surprise and thoughts. She could see beyond her parents' reaction to all of this. She could see beyond the peers and the neighborhood and the community. And she saw that God was lifting her up, that she was favored by him, even though all of her earthly dreams could be dashed. It didn't matter. As long as she brought glory to God. Mary didn't volunteer for this. It wasn't like the angel came down and had this meeting with all the virgins of the neighborhood, all the Jewish young ladies come together, and I'd like to explain to you what we have here. We have a great opportunity to be used of God, and just curious if anybody here would volunteer for this job. Mary didn't volunteer. God interrupted. God interrupted her marriage plans. God interrupted her timing, her life. He just plain messed things up, humanly speaking. And yet, as we read this, it's just amazing how it all kind of unfolds. And we could say, well, you know, this is Bible times, and, you know, the miraculous happens, and people just, no, they don't. I mean, what God is asking her to do is really beyond human comprehension. It's like Joshua going back and saying, we're going to walk around the city a few times, you know, folks, we're just going to walk around, we're going to be real quiet, we're just going to walk around, you know, for a few days, and then on the seventh day, we'll walk around it a few more times, and then we'll holler, and we'll watch the fortified walls go down. And you're saying, this guy's been smoking something. It's like Abraham going to his family and his friends and saying, God has called me to leave. Where are you going? I don't know. How are you going to get there? I'm not sure. There's something wrong with this guy. You see, oftentimes God just comes along and he interrupts our life and he gives us a plan that makes absolutely no sense to anybody else. But you know what he wants you to do. You know what he's asking of you. And the question is, are you willing to honor him and glorify him and serve him and give him your life regardless whether anybody else even understands? I mean, after all, when it's all over with, whose approval do I really want? Whose approval's really going to matter? And so when Mary is being shared here that she has found favor and that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, and then again in verse 38 when she just says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You see, sometimes when it comes to following the Lord, we must be willing to walk alone. Walk alone. Now, I know you know the story. We'll look at Joseph next week, but God's going to come in, and God's going to intercede, and she's going to get married, and all things are going to work out well. Well, do they really work out well? I mean, that's what we want to think, isn't it? I mean, you give yourself over to the Lord. You commit yourself to him. He asks you to do the impossible. You set out by faith to do it, and because you set out to do it, he will bless. Well, again, we'll look at Joseph next week, but, you know, God does intercede, and then God comes along, and these decrees are made, and they got to make a 90-mile journey to get registered for taxes. In the last part of her pregnancy, you don't get on a bus. It'll be a hard trip. And then when they get there, there's no room for them in the inn, and they have to go to the stable, to the manger, to give birth to a child. And then when it's time to dedicate him, they're not able to give the general sacrifice that is required when you give birth to a son because they don't have enough. They give the sacrifice which states that they are living below poverty level. Her whole life would have been difficult and hard. It wouldn't have been easy from the very beginning. But it didn't matter. What mattered was she was God's servant. And whatever he requested of her was fine with her. And what tomorrow brought would be taken care of tomorrow. And she committed herself to him. The question comes back to us in this busy, busy, busy life that we live. Are we so busy that we just don't have time for him? And if he even dared to interrupt my life at this particular point and ask me to veer to a whole different direction, to go a whole different way and devastate everything that I had dreamed and planned for, would I do it? Am I really his servant? Can I really say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. No one looking around. The praise band will work their way up. But I just ask you to be still in your seat and quiet and talk to the Lord. Evaluate your life. Ask yourself, are you just too busy for him? And if he was to interrupt your life and bring issues that are going to make things a little uncomfortable, are you able to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you desire, whatever you want, you have your way with me. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior. The reason that Jesus became a human, the reason that he was born, that first advent, was that he would go to the cross of Calvary and die for the sins of the human race. Because there was no way that any of us could ever redeem ourselves. But he was willing to pay the penalty that I could be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished in Calvary, you need to do that. And if you need to talk to anyone, I would be glad to sit down with you. There's others here in the church that would be glad to sit down with you. Don't leave without having those questions answered. It is our desire to help each of you and that each of us will have a heart, a mind, and a soul's desire to glorify him with our lives. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the reminder of how you were able to interrupt the life of a teenage girl with all her dreams and all her plans. And she was willing. She was more than willing to be the servant that would bring you glory with her life, with her body, with her very being. Oh, may that be the case with each of us. You will not ask all of us to do what you've asked Mary and others to do, but you will ask us at times to walk by faith and not by sight. Trust you and to let you have your way in our lives. Father, you know the hearts of each one of us here. You know what's going through the minds of the individuals. You know the prayers that are being spoken right now. And I would pray that you would glorify yourself in each one. And if there be anyone here that doesn't know Christ, I pray that today would be a day that they would be reminded of their need of forgiveness, their need of salvation, their need of a Savior. And they would find that hope in Jesus Christ and him alone. And we'll praise you for what you accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.